And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 13th, 2020. Today we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I am doing well. Looking forward to talking with you today about the Weymouth compressor, which unfortunately, there's some not good news, but we have some good ideas for how you can get involved and help make it better news, perhaps. So tune in.
Hi, editor's note here. A couple days after we recorded this podcast, it turns out that on September 11th at about 9 o'clock in the morning at the Weymouth compressor, there was a gasket failure during some of the very initial testing work. That gasket failure led to the plant being manually shut down in an emergency mode. And 265,000 square feet of methane gas were released at ground level into the Weymouth neighborhood. Most of the public didn't find out about it until about 11 a.m. And there was no alert on the red code app that the citizens of Weymouth can get, because this was not a planned event, not a planned blowdown, but an emergency event. So there was no warning. One of the Alice Arena reported to have asked what would have happened if this had leak had happened at 2 in the morning when no one was in the plant, things like that. Anyway, it's ironic but not surprising. That happened after we recorded this podcast, so keep that in mind as you listen. So, Mariah, we have spoken often of the Weymouth compressor. Just for people who may not be that familiar with the circumstance, Weymouth is a town south of Boston. It's right on, it's just off Route 93 coming into Boston. It is the site of the Four River Bridge. Weymouth, in fact, goes way back to the founding of our country. Right, it's right in there with Quincy and Braintree and all that kind of stuff. Weymouth goes way, way back. It's an old part of Boston. The Four River Bridge is a brand spanking new bridge that's been built in the last few years to cross the Four River in that neighborhood. But there's a little plot of land near that bridge in a heavily crowded part of Weymouth where there's schools and elderly apartment complexes and environmental justice communities. There's a small park that has been taken over by an energy giant that wants to construct what's called a compressor, a natural gas compressor. This is the famous Weymouth compressor. What the compressor does is it repressurizes natural gas that flows through the pipeline, natural gas pipelines, repressurizes it so that it can keep flowing on, right? Because as the gas goes through the pipeline, friction kind of slows it down. And every now and then you got to pump it back up like a balloon, right? You put it at all high pressure so it can keep flowing. Well, compressor plants tend to be dangerous because there's a lot of natural gas under high pressure in that plant. So to start off, you've got a dangerous industrial facility built in the middle of a small town where if there was something, a bad thing to happen, God knows what, but some sort of explosion, it would really impact a lot of people. So there's a health and safety risk of building a compressor. Then there's a whole set of climate-related risks as to why do we need a natural gas compressor anyway. This thing's on a pipeline. We want to get rid of pipelines. All kinds of questions about it. And in fact, most of the gas that's going through this small town south of Boston is on its way to Canada to be sold overseas by the multinational corporation that's trying to build this thing. There's been a long history of opposition to the Weymouth compressor, going back 5 or 6 years of steadfast local activists who you can follow their story at the website nocompressor.org. They've been fighting this for years and years with varying degrees of success. The governor has turned his eyes away. The plant has been under construction for the last 6 or 8 months with people standing in front of it being arrested. in various ways to try and slow down the construction of this compressor plant.
Hunger strikes. One of our good friends, a good friend of the pod, went on Nathan Phillips went on a hunger strike for nearly 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yep. There's a lot of opposition to this compressor plant. So that's kind of the background. The current state of play is that over the summer or in the spring, the plant was applying for one of the last permits that it needed. And it turned out that permit was denied, or at least temporarily vacated by a court. Vacated means denied, right? And it was an arcane discussion about whether this air compressor that was needed in one of the buildings should be a diesel or an electric one, because there's air quality issues associated with that for the surrounding community. All this while, the governor has allowed the construction of the plant to go on, even though it didn't have the right permits. But within the last few weeks, that the federal court has reversed itself again and allowed the permit that it vacated to be reinstated. So now the Weymouth compressor plant has nearly all the permits that it needs to go forward. The governor has not acted to prevent this environmental injustice. And as of right now, that plant is in what's called a commissioning stage, which means that the all of the piping is going to get compressed with gas, and there are things called blowdowns. So it turns out that every once in a while at these compressor plants, they have to empty all the pipes of all that pressurized gas. And guess what? It goes up in the air near the schools, near the retirement communities, near all these people, near all the people crossing the Four River Bridge, generally described as sounding like a jet airplane is landing on your roof because there's huge amounts of gas escaping through being vented. Gas is loaded with stuff like benzene and that, whatever it is that makes the natural gas stinky, right? The Mercator or something.
Some additive, too. Yeah.
And that's a carcinogen by itself, but this will all be dumped. They say that over this past weekend, there would be something like 700,000 square cubic feet of this stuff dumped into the air in Weymouth. And it's just, it's a sad, hard fight to try and stop this, what's a behemoth, basically.
Yeah. So, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Ted, but from my understanding, the town of Weymouth does not want this here. There's, I think, 12 lawsuits being filed against it from the, two dozen lawsuits from the town of Weymouth to attempt to stop the project. And, you know, there's such an interesting issue there where you have sort of the governor steamrolling ahead on something that this town is saying, we don't want this here. And they've certainly done everything they could to raise their voice, but have really come up powerless against sort of the moneyed interests that want to keep pushing this forward. And you see environmental justice problems here, right? Where, you know, the community doesn't have a voice to say, we don't want this potential health hazard here when we're really getting very little benefit from it. You know, all of our health is being sacrificed so that, I mean, what, I guess the state can get a little more money in its coffers. I don't know.
Well, this is where you start to get into, I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but you ask yourself, why is the governor is not covering himself in glory one way or the other here, right? He could have been a hero, but, there's arguments that he owns some stock in Enbridge, or he has friends at the company that wants to put this thing through. That's sort of I can't prove that, and that's quite an accusation. But the governor has talked about Weymouth. He said it's not virgin territory, he referred to it as, which is a horrendous thing. I mean, the governor of Massachusetts to refer to one of the towns as being not virgin territory. And of course, Weymouth has a long history of being used as an industrial site. And in fact, the place they're building the compressor goes back almost to colonial times in terms of being a place where bad stuff is dumped. There's asbestos bricks in there. So there's lots of, but you're right. That, I mean, why is it that these big people own all of the permitting agencies? What is it, regulatory capture to talk about? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a ton of upside for, certainly not for the town of Weymouth. And I don't know maybe full all of the details, but it doesn't seem like there's a ton of upside for the state of Massachusetts. As you said, any money that they're going to put into this is in some ways a lost asset, because it's a pipeline and it takes 30 years for you to get a return on your investment. And we better, I mean, Massachusetts has pledged to phase out fossil fuels in the next 30 years. So we can't possibly get a return on our investment from this. Yeah. I'm speculating, but to me, it's sort of like, what, how would this make any sort of sense economically? For the health, you know, costs that we're going to incur.
One argument says, well, all that natural gas, Weymouth is just a way station for that natural gas to get to Canada so it can be exported, right? And maybe the governor can look himself in the mirror and say, well, we didn't burn that natural gas here in Massachusetts, so it doesn't count against our greenhouse gas footprint, right? But it's still using Massachusetts right. territory for the benefit of some big energy corporation to right. export gas.
We're probably not footing the bill for the pipeline to be built. I assume they're probably...
No. Yeah, in fact, that was the outrage. Those guys wanted to tax, well, it was called a tariff, but they wanted to put a tariff on your electricity bill to pay for the natural gas that would be used to generate the electricity where the natural gas came through the pipelines. Hmm. I mean, you can't even believe it.
That didn't go through.
And finally, the Supreme Judicial Court said, no, you cannot do that. But that's what they were trying, right? So this is an ongoing thing. There, if you live in Weymouth, Braintree, or Quincy, you can now download the Red Code Alert so that your smartphone will get a buzzer if there is a blowdown or an explosion at the compressor plant. I mean, I don't have a link, but I mean, I've seen tweets where the fire department says, hey, wait a minute. We don't know how to deal with anything in that compressor plant. It's a big black box for us because we don't have any plans. We don't know what the structure of the building is. So how are we supposed to fight a fire there? So here's what I'd like to do, Mariah. On the nocompressor.com website, there is a list of things that can be done, right? There's still, the fight goes on. One of the things that they're asking people to do is to call Enbridge. So Enbridge is the big company that's trying to build a compressor station. They are the ultimate villain here in this piece. Phone number is 888-231-6553. That's the complaint line. And you can ask Enbridge for the safety plan, for the evacuation plan for Weymouth. And if you look at a map, it's fantastic. If you look at a map, this thing is right within 100 yards of a bridge that is the path out for most of the people in Weymouth, right? And this thing goes out and blows the bridge out. Okay, what's the evacuation plan then, right? They're also asking you to call the complaint line and ask that there be a two-hour window of warning for when they're going to do the blowdowns, right? In particular, on September 12th, which might have been last weekend, is when they're going to start doing this. But they're asking for people to call and demand better notification, right? You can send a letter to the Massachusetts DEP. This is all on their website. I mean, there are things to try. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the governor could still stop this by, you know, refusing another permit. But the governor keeps saying his hands are tied. It's a federal process. Again, he's not covered himself in glory. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, and of note, certainly, this is the same governor that has done really good things for climate, right? He went down to D.C. and was vociferous about the importance of addressing it as a Republican governor. That's good, right? It's good to see that. So he needs to walk the walk, right, and not just talk the talk. So we can hold him accountable for that for sure.
Well, there we go. So, Mariah, our thoughts go out to the people in Weymouth. We need to keep up the... Of course, you can always donate to those guys. There's a donate button at that website because they need the money for the legal fights that are going to continue on going into the future. Let me just say that we'll put up links to all the stuff that we talked about. That's going to be at the blog. If you want to send us an email, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You can listen to this show directly on any of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please tell your friends to listen to the show so that we can spread the good word. We want to thank D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.